Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Mary Poplin is an academic. She's a professor of education at a Californian university. But in the academic circles that she moves in, she's a bit of an anomaly because she's a person of deep Christian faith. Now, for much of her life, Mary was a cynic until she made two important decisions. The first one was to become a follower of Jesus Christ, and the second one was to spend her sabbatical leave working with Mother Teresa in Calcutta. Those 2 months radically changed her relationship with God, but also changed the way that she teaches in her university now too. It's an interesting story, and she's on the line to talk about it. Mary, welcome to Open House.
Thank you very much.
You've written your experiences into this book, Finding Calcutta. There's actually some meaning behind that phrase too, which we'll get to a little bit later on. But you had been a Christian for, what, about 3 years when you took your sabbatical leave and you went to the Missionaries of Charity in Calcutta?
Yes, only 3 years. Yeah. I had become a Christian in 1993 at the age of 41, after becoming a full professor.
That needs to be explored just really briefly. How did that happen at the age of 41?
Well, I had always been searching. I think I'd call it searching the spiritual net, looking at every religion and trying on most of them, and even bending spoons, which in California counts as a religious activity. So I had tried everything, and then I had a dream, a very powerful dream. And I had had a graduate student, the only man to ever take my feminism class, who was a Native American. He had always offered to help me with my spiritual life. And when I woke from the dream, I thought, dreams, Native Americans, he'll be able to help me.
Right.
And I went, and to my shock, when I asked him what I should do, he asked me if I had a Bible. I didn't know that he was a Christian at all. And
I bet you're expecting something a little bit more esoteric than that.
Yeah, I expected, you know, to go into maybe some Native American, you know, philosophy or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating. And so when did the idea then to go and volunteer with Mother Teresa then come about?
About a year and a half after I had, you know, accepted Jesus into my life, I saw a film of her, which is more of a documentary. And in the documentary, she said, our work is not social work, it's religious work. And because my own personal work in education is the education of the poor, mm-hmm. And I had become a Christian, I thought, I really need to understand what that means. I had this faith, and I was beginning to see that the principles that were outlined in the Bible were actually true in life. And I began to think, if this is true, then it must have something to do with the field that I study.
Right, okay. So they assign you to work in one of their children's centers. Describe a typical day that you had then in Calcutta.
Okay, well, I would get up around 5 and get dressed and walk to the center. I was living at in a middle-class home with a woman who was an architect. And then I would go into the chapel. I would try to get there a little early so I could sit near where I knew Mother Teresa was going to sit. I was hoping something would jump off on me, I guess. And we would start with Mass and then have a little cup of tea and a small piece of bread and a small tropical banana. And then we would be sent out to the various places around the city. So the volunteers would go together, kind of following the missionaries to their work. Then I got to the center, and the center did a lot of things. They had children for adoption in one area. I didn't work in that. They had a medical dispensary and a food dispensary at the bottom of the area. I didn't work in that either. But I was assigned to work with sick and handicapped children. Mm. And unbeknownst to the Missionaries of Charity, I had begun my work with handicapped children. Mm. That's how I started my profession. So I felt pretty comfortable. But once I got started, I found myself primarily working with sick infants. I would feed them, change them, eventually help administer medicines. And then we would work till about 1 and then leave. And then at 3 o'clock, another group of volunteers came on.
Now, that's where, I guess, the rubber hits the road. That's where you start to experience what Mother Teresa and her sisters were all doing day to day. And that's where, I guess, things start to kind of, your eyes start to get opened to not just simply, I guess, the work, not just simply the educational aspects of it, not just simply the research task that you're there for, but also the spiritual things that are actually happening there. What did you start to see?
Exactly. The first thing I saw was when you would walk into one of their homes, there was a kind of peace there that was nowhere else in Calcutta, nowhere to be had. It was almost as though you had left the country and walked into another country. So there was this incredible sense of peace, the Missionaries of Charity didn't talk much. There was a rule, I later learned, that they were not to speak unless it was necessary in order to do the work during the work day. I think the thing that shocked me the most is that there were probably about 45 or 50 children in that big, giant room I worked in every day. And the only thing that was planned were the times for sleeping, cleaning, eating, those kind of things. So there was a lot of time unplanned, but there was no chaos there. If you had done that, certainly in America, you would have a little chaos because there weren't toys and games and things like that. Mm. It was incredible. You know, the food never ran out. They opened the doors for people who were hungry. At one point, there was some rumor in the volunteers that one woman was coming and getting the food in her pot and then selling it on the streets. The missionaries were just unfazed by that. It was like, God has to take care of that.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
This is Open House. We're talking to Mary Poplin. She spent a couple of months living and working alongside Mother Teresa of Kolkata. She's written up her experiences in this book, Finding Kolkata. Tell me about this little baby Bablu as well.
Oh, Bablu. Yeah. Bablu was only 7 pounds when I got there. He was 3 months old. He had been born premature and contracted a virus. So really all you could do, I mean, what they were doing is praying and keeping him alive by keeping him hydrated, right, and feeding him. And one day there was a pretty serious incident with Bablu. He just had developed diarrhea so badly that he was just kind of on the border of dying. The missionaries arranged a kind of night to pray for him. They allowed me to stay with him later that day, you know, through the times we weren't supposed to be there. And they had him on an IV. And sure enough, he recovered. And after he recovered, I would walk him around the room, and he would be attracted to this particular picture of Christ, which was always a little, as a person who didn't grow up Catholic, always a little dark to me. It was a picture of Jesus. It was very lifelike, a painting, but he was holding his heart outside his body, and it was bleeding. And the Sacred Heart of Jesus is what it's called.
Yes.
And this child had had some experience between he and this painting, because every time we'd go near this painting, he would just start to kick, and he finally started to coo for the first time. And I just began to realize that, you know, all my searching for spiritual reality, that there is a spiritual reality. There is a perfectly good spiritual reality, like perfect Holy Spirit. But the spirits that I was kind of dabbling with were not those spirits. My hunger to understand the word of God began to grow. And then when I came home, right before I left, Mother Teresa said to me, you know, everyone is not called to work with the poor. Everyone is not called to be poor like God calls us to be. But everyone is called to a Kolkata. You have to find yours.
Your time with Mother Teresa herself I want to explore as well. How did you find her? Did you get much time with her while you were there?
Well, I was in the chapel every day, and afterwards she would kind of speak to us. And I had four different, more lengthy interactions with her, some of which were, you know, not prearranged. Well, they really weren't prearranged. They were times when, like, I would be sent back to the house to pick up things, the mother house, for the place where I was working, and we would have a conversation. How I found her was, it's hard to describe her. When you're in her presence, you do feel that you're in the presence of Jesus, that you're in the presence of a pure love, someone who's really given up everything. She was as tall as I am sitting when she was standing. So we were. She had broken her collarbone when I was there, and one time she told me to pray for her, and I just wanted to cry because I thought, you know, I'm the one that should be asking you to pray for me. But she was humble. She was so humble like that. To me, she had a wisdom that I had seen in the Bible, but I had never seen it lived, really.
Yes, and all this, though, that she's not well known of being a soft and gentle sort, though, was it? I mean, she could be quite blunt and to the point.
I know. People always say to me, oh, I bet she was sweet, and I always say, no, she wasn't.
No.
she was strong.
And therein lies a great paradox, but it's a great spiritual paradox, is that you can actually be very godly, you can actually be very Christ-like, and not have that, you know, soft and sweet, like you said, that's probably the better word, soft and sweet personality.
No, I mean, Jesus didn't. I mean, you know, there were times when he called Peter Satan.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I don't like to be in a church where that's going on either, where they're just acting like Jesus was just this sort of soft, sweet guy walking through the tulips. No, in fact, she had an ability to point her finger at you and shake it.
Yeah, in fact, one point she actually pointed her finger at you and really spoke a message to you that seemed directly from God himself.
She did. The last time I saw her, she actually came right up to me. No words beforehand, no, you know, hello. She just walked right up to me and started shaking her finger at me, looked me straight in the eye, and she said, "You fall more in love with Jesus every day." And at first, honestly, I didn't actually understand what she had said in my head first, but I did in my spirit, I think. And I just, the only word I could get out was, "Yes, ma'am." And then I began to understand that I was trying to understand Christianity with my secular mind, and it couldn't be done that way. It had to be done through the heart, and you had to start with love.
So you've got this experience with her, and then you have this finding your Calcutta phrase offered to you. Tell me about that.
Well, after she told me that, I got home in about late June or July, and I began classes in September. And I would go into my class, into my office, to prepare a class that, you know, things I had taught before primarily. And I would begin to just uncontrollably start weeping in my office. And I didn't know why I was weeping, and I'm not a weeper. I'm a thinking type on all those scales, the personality scales that you take.
Yeah.
And thinking types really don't want to weep. But if we are going to cry, we should at least intellectually understand why.
I love that.
But that wasn't happening. So I knew it was a crying that I had never experienced before. So I just began to pray that God would reveal what this was. And it went on for about 6 weeks. And then I went to a conference where I was speaking about education. But the women's group at the conference, women's school administrators, wanted me to do this little breakfast and talk about my experience with Mother Teresa. So I did. And at the end of my talk, this woman in the back of the room stood up and said, "Have you had any trouble coming back from Mother Teresa's?" And when she said that, I started to weep in front of these 250 women school administrators, just like I had wept in my office. When I finally got myself together, I felt the Lord just kind of downloaded immediately the answer. So I said, "You know, I have been a yes, obviously, and I have been a Christian for 3 years, and I believe I've seen radical Christianity lived now. And I'm teaching all these things that I've always taught, and I now know what Christianity really is, and I can't find a way to get from there to there, and I feel like a liar." So that's when I began to start writing the book. And then as I began to write it, I began to realize that from any of the worldviews that are currently taught in a secular university, and I would categorize those as three, primarily naturalism, scientific naturalism, and secular humanism. And now there's kind of this emerging sort of pantheism, which in the West turns out to be more like, somewhat like the New Age movement. From any one of those three major worldviews, Mother Teresa is completely incomprehensible.
That's interesting.
You know, what she believed and the way she lived her life does not make sense from any one of those. So I then began to study worldviews, and I began to see how, you know, originally the secular university became secular in order to broaden itself. But the reality is, in that attempt to broaden itself, it actually became narrow, more narrow, because it began to exclude anything that was religious, particularly Judeo-Christian. And if you exclude a worldview as dominant and as powerful as the Judeo-Christian worldview, then you're not teaching broadly. You're teaching part of the world.
That's a very good point. So here you are as an academic, and like you said, you've been thoroughly trained, thoroughly schooled, you know, in the secular worldview. Like you said, the humanistic kind of worldview, in many ways you could say it's an atheistic worldview. It doesn't actually have a place for God. And there you have this experience, you become a Christian, you go and spend this time with Mother Teresa, and then you come back, and then you are back in the secular world, but with an emerging new Christian worldview, theistic worldview, a worldview that says there is a God, and actually understanding him, understanding his ways is how you actually make sense of reality. How has that affected your career from this point on?
Well, I began to try to see places where, because none of those worldviews are completely false. I mean, that was kind of my first inclination. Mm-hmm. But none of those worldviews are completely false. They're just simply distorted, or they're missing critical things that would make them more alive mm-hmm. and more true. So I began to say, on any topic I could, okay, let's look at what are the theories about the education of the poor. So here's what the Marxist would say. Here's what secular humanists would say. Here's what the early Greeks would say. And this is what Judeo-Christianity would say. For me, I mean, I'm teaching PhD students. This is the last degree they're ever going to get. It's the highest degree in the land. Mm. I think they need to have the biggest picture. Mm. And they can pick from the one they want, right? But they need to know them all. So I just became fairly bold once I began to learn what was missing and just say, this is another perspective, and this is how each of these differ from one another.
Right. So Mother Teresa told you to find your own Calcutta, mm-hmm. and you found mm-hmm. yours. You believe yours is still in the academic world?
Absolutely. I mean, I just see so many people struggle with looking for a faith, struggle with their own faith, and it's just not dealt with in the university, and the university is a huge influence on the world.
Well, Mary, great to talk to you. Fascinating to not just hear your experience, but also pick your brains and explore that formed and shaped mind as well. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Mary Poplin, who's the author of Finding Calcutta, her story of spending some time with Mother Teresa, and it wasn't just simply something that changed her spiritual life, although that it did dramatically, but also changed her outlook on life. It changed her worldview to the point where she's now teaching differently in her university in a different way to what she was before. Theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast if you missed it.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.